With the ringing of that school bell, we welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 9, and we're reading about the conversion of Paul. And particularly, we're going to be looking about how it was that Ananias was at first afraid to go to Saul when he had come to Damascus, because Saul had been sent there with the idea of capturing Christians and bringing them back to Jerusalem for trial. You see, now in the life of Paul the Apostle, he is Paul the persecutor. But having seen Christ on the road to Damascus, he was persuaded that he needed to be saved. And Ananias would come and tell that grieving Saul what he must do to be saved. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. While you're turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 9, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E.A. Elam, who is coming to us by way of the things which he wrote. And he wrote a Sunday school lesson about Paul the Apostle for the Sundays of September the 2nd, 1923. And in this, we read, as we continue into this lesson, we read that Paul's terrible record and the news that he had come to Damascus with letters of authority to bind all who call upon the name of Jesus caused Ananias to fear. The news of Paul's mission had preceded him. The Lord removed these fears by his declaration that Saul was a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and to suffer many things for his name's sake. Ananias went, and laying his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who hath appeared unto me in the way which thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he secured his sight, and arose, and was baptized. And he said, The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Jesus appeared to Paul to qualify him as an apostle, but he must learn what to do to be saved from a human being and to become a Christian, just as did other people, even as we do now. He must believe in the Lord, which he did, and his faith came by hearing the word of the Lord, Romans 10:17. As our lesson shows, he must repent of his sins, which he did, and he must arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on his name, the name of the Lord. Paul's sins were not forgiven when he first saw the light, for he knew not then who addressed him. They were not forgiven when he readily believed the statement that it was Jesus who spoke to him, for he went blind to Damascus and there remained, fasting and praying, until Ananias reached him and told him what we must do. Must implies obligation, and he was obliged to do whatever he was told. When Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, he at once did so and was forgiven and comforted. He took food and was strengthened. that he must arise and be baptized shows that he must go to the water to be baptized, and not that water was brought to him. Baptism is a washing. Check it out. Titus 3 and verse 5. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. And inasmuch as God forgives the sins of those who in faith and penitence are baptized in the name of Jesus, they are said to wash away their sins. Those sins are not washed away by the water. We read in the book of Romans, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 5, they're washed away by the blood of Christ. But they're washed away when the believer is baptized into Christ. Paul must receive the same instruction and must do the same things which those did on Pentecost for the remission of sins. No vision, no miracle in Paul's case released him from the necessity to be obedient to the will of God. These miracles serve their purpose, as we have seen. But aside from these, as stated above, Paul must hear the word of God, believe in Jesus, repent of all his sins, and be baptized, and wash away his sins, calling on his name. Calling on his name is the same as being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And this means that when one is baptized in obedience to God, he does so calling on the Lord and looking to him for pardon and salvation. Jesus saves. Sometimes persons object to the plan of salvation revealed in the Scriptures because it makes man depend upon a third person. Here God requires Saul to be led by another. He's not a believer unto Damascus, and then depend yet upon another for needed instruction as to what he must do to find forgiveness from God. God uses men, both good and evil, in carrying out his purpose. To object to a plan of the Lord because it requires the office of a third person arises from a lack of confidence in God's ability to have the person where and when he needs him to be. It betrays a distrust in God's power to do his work in his own chosen way. What I have just read to you were the words of David Lipscomb. And as all truly penitent ones, Paul desired to build up that which he had done so much to tear down, and he began at once to preach that Jesus is the Christ, and soon suffered such persecution as he had heaped upon others. Paul had to give up much to serve Christ. I want to read to you now from the book of Philippians, and we'll be studying this text in this class and in classes to come. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7 and reading down through verse 14. Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi and says, "Howbeit what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and become conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is a reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. Notice how in verse 7 Paul wrote, "What things were gained to me." He's talking about the worldly attainments and advances and honors that were named earlier in verses 4 through 6. These Paul counted loss for Christ. He fully and gladly carried out Christ's command to forsake all persons and to give up all things that stood in the way of becoming a Christian or hindering his progress in the Christian life. Thousands of professed disciples of Christ seem never to have realized that this must be done. They seek worldly wealth, worldly stations, and honor as diligently as people as the world do. They maintain no difference between the church and the world. In Philippians 3:8-9, Paul said he counted all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, and counted them but refuge in order to gain Christ and be found in Him, not having the righteousness of His own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let us note that expression, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That is to know God and Christ. That is what eternal life is. John 17 and verse 3, "This knowledge is excellent because it brings the remission of sins. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ on earth, and salvation forever in heaven." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. In order to realize what it means to know Christ, we can study the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 26. Let me read to you from that epistle of Colossians. Reread in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and to make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks unto God the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through Him and unto Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in Him should dwell all fullness, and through Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind in your evil works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached in all creation unto heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister.